Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie, and on this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Thanks for listening. On the show today, we have Sarah Duncan and Pamela Walker-Dees. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's always fun for me to have two both hosts of the show on at the same time, because sometimes that isn't always possible with people's schedules and whatnot. So I like having a third person every once in a while.
We will hopefully not be too insane for you.
Yeah.
We'll warn you ahead of time.
Yeah, we get a little hyper.
A little special.
I think we'll be fine.
Awesome.
So the first topic that I wanted to talk about was Spotify and Gimlet. There's some big talk happening about Spotify acquiring Gimlet for anywhere in between $200 and $230 million. And by acquiring, I don't know if what exactly they would be getting, if that would be all of their content, if that would be their staff. I don't exactly know what all of this would be, but there's a lot of rumors. I have no idea if this is actually going to happen, but it's just people love to talk.
I think that could potentially be really interesting. Like you said, it depends on what acquiring actually means. Mm-hmm. They have a podcast over at Gimlet Media that I really enjoy, Science Versus. As soon as I read Gimlet, I'm like, wait, I know that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Science Versus. And so if anything else, I would hope that would mean they could expand the number of podcasts that they would be able to sponsor and produce and, you know, give, because there are many, many podcasts out there, ours included, who are completely run just on blood, sweat, and tears. And
She shrank.
Yes. And it would be nice just to have a little bit of support with some of the production and marketing and things that are not necessarily our expertise, but that someone else might be able to, you know, help provide that skill set.
Oh, definitely. I know, or at least I heard, that Spotify is looking to create more content. That's as general as it's going to get. Whether they are acquiring shows or creating their own new shows, all I know is that they are kind of on the move to get more podcast content up on their platform. So this would be a quick and easy way to get quite a bit of shows and back catalogs very easily. And if they included the team already knows what they're doing, so it's not like they have to do anything there.
Right. But I also think that this also shows that, I mean, even though podcasting has become a very popular genre, that streaming services like Spotify are really starting to take notice.
Mm-hmm.
That podcast is a unique genre, a genre that everybody wants to listen to in some capacity.
In some ways, it kind of reminds me of what MySpace and YouTube was for musicians when it first came out.
Yeah.
Where it's finally there was a way for people who just did a recording in their garage or their living room to put it online and make it available so that you could actually go through and pick out some really great talent that's out there. Like, podcasting kind of provides that same, you know, homegrown creative outlet for people.
Right. I saw the other day Spotify had an update on their app, at least on the mobile one, and I think the name was changed to Music and Podcasts and not just music anymore. So that kind of gives you an indication of what they're doing.
They're getting committed.
They are. Yes. They truly are. But one of the things that I did like about the article that I read, because there was a whole lot to choose from on this topic, on this rumor, but this one said specifically how China is making a lot more money on podcasts than we are anywhere, than anyone else that is involved in podcasting. And that is because the majority of theirs is already subscription payment based. And they're like, yeah, you guys are focusing on ads and we're doing it this way and we're making bank.
I know.
I just pictured them sitting up, people in China sitting over there being like, wait, people do this for free?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, the statistic of what the podcast Serial made, mm-hmm, 500,000 their first year, but yet there's a couple of podcasts that make like 8 million or something that first year
right
in China.
And based off of much less numbers.
Yes.
I'm like, how do we get into the China market? How do we make this happen like right now?
Crossover. We'd be two crazy American mamas or something.
Exactly. Yes. They'd just be interpreting our podcast and be like, oh, they special. They says special.
Regardless of what China is, like how they're doing it, I think, I liked that this article said, any article out there that's trying to tell you that podcasting isn't worthy of the money or saying that it's doesn't have enough money already in it is just wrong. This is just another example. This is happening all the time. It's just, if you're not seeing it, it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's just solidifying the money involved in podcasting even more. Regardless of what happens with this potential deal, people are talking right. about it.
I see big things.
Yeah. I heard about it this past weekend, the Super Bowl weekend, and saw that Nick Kwa put out an early newsletter about it because he was like, this is happening. I don't want this to just like fall away on the weekend and whatnot. So I guess that's the way it goes now. The next topic that I wanted to talk about was obviously your show. So there are two of you. There's two hosts on a regular basis, and your show is Motherhood on Tap. And tell me a little bit more about that.
Do you want to go for it?
We started May of last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Launched Mother's Day weekend.
Yep.
Oh, perfect date. And
it really all got started when Sarah posted on Facebook, hey, I think I'm going to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any podcast on motherhood? And anybody has any ideas? And so I just like went to comments. And I started coming up all these topics. And she's like, do you want to do it with me? Sure.
Because I think I kind of knew that she was like me, Pamela was like me, and that I've kind of discovered podcasts in the last few years and have been nerding out on them just in general. Yes. So I knew that she would appreciate kind of getting to dig into things and really try to find something cool that we could put together.
Yeah, well, we have worked together in the past at work, which I moved to a different area, so we no longer interact through work anymore, but sorry. But we But this is a great way for us to, like, connect off-site and...
Yeah, and around the time that we came up with this idea, I had just become a mom. I had a 3 or 4 month old at the time when we started talking about this. Mm-hmm. And Pamela has two daughters who are a few years older than my daughter.
Yeah.
And so we would just be, you know... we would each have our things that we need to vent about and talk about. And we're like, you know what? I think a lot of other moms would maybe enjoy
this.
Just having a safe, have a safe place to go to vent, to laugh, to talk about the fact that it's not a perfect situation all the time. Mm-hmm. And even though we love our kids and love our families, it's damn hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I said to Sarah, I said, what my biggest frustration is, I always feel like TV, magazines, whatever, has this image like the perfect mother, and we must fit into that box. And I'm just like, I don't fit into any of it. I will not win Mother of the Year.
I am not even close.
I feel like that's the perfect perspective to be providing. I feel like that is needed.
Yes. So I'm like, I want other women to hear, like, it's okay that your kid had a meltdown in Target. Let me tell you about my kid that had the meltdown.
Yes. Yes. And with the age differences, I feel like both of you can bring a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like from the different scenarios that you're going through day to day.
Yeah, I mean, I have a 5 and 2-year-old, so I deal with elementary school stuff, mm-hmm. and then I deal with a toddler who thinks she's 20.
Yep.
So, you know, and then I actually have a 3rd one on the way, so.
Oh, okay.
So this is a new adventure to add to the... Mm-hmm. The podcasting framework.
Yes, have you been documenting that on the show at all?
Slowly.
little tidbits here and there, because I think we only announced it a few episodes ago, because it was toward the end of your first trimester, right?
Yeah, well, I think it was like in the safe zone, and we had, mm-hmm. and, well, it was kind of, so be honest and put it out there, but yeah, we haven't talked about it too much, because we haven't really incorporated it yet, but I'm sure we will shortly.
Yeah, I'd love to do some more episodes on, you know, all the ins and outs of pregnancy soon.
It's a different aspect, for sure.
Yeah, the things that people say that you wish they wouldn't say.
Mm-hmm.
I am so impressed by her because not only does she have two kids running around, but when I was pregnant and had no kids, I wanted to go to bed at like 8:45 every night.
I do want to go to bed at 8:45, but other things have to get done.
But you stay up for me.
You stay up for this.
Yes.
Thank you. So, so it's you guys always, but you were saying earlier about having a guest on. So, like, who would you have on and what would you, like, perhaps be talking about?
We've had several different guests come on. One of my personal favorites was when we had Jennifer Mott of BabyNames.com and the Baby Names podcast.
Oh, cool.
She is a baby names expert. So it was so much fun to talk to her about, okay, baby names expert, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's what sounds like a job.
Yeah, and what things should parents keep in mind when they're naming their kids? What kind of baby names are trending right now? Like, it's such a fun rabbit hole to go down. I love it when we get guests who are experts in a particular topic like that. But we've also done ones where it's like, okay, what's it like to be a military spouse and a mother, or what's it like to be a teacher and a mother, all these different aspects. And I'm hoping to do an interview soon with a same-sex couple who just had a baby of, okay, how was that process to go through of not only getting pregnant and having the baby, but, you know, life with two moms when they both grew up in heterosexual households. You know, how does this dynamic work? And I just think that stuff is so interesting to hear about.
You have a variety of topics there that all sound interesting, and you can go so many different ways with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you guys started a little less than a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
How often are you releasing episodes?
Pretty much weekly.
Yeah, every week.
I'm super impressed by that. No, seriously, I'm super impressed by that. It's hard to get out episodes in general, let alone trying to get a schedule of two moms together on a weekly basis to get episodes out, along with a potential guest. Like, you guys were so simple to schedule for this. I was very happy with it.
We were so grateful that your schedule lined up with our schedule, because this time on Monday evenings, like, we have it on the calendar every single week.
Yep.
You know, our families are all set up. They know what to expect.
Our husbands know what to expect.
Oh, yes. They're on daddy duty. They know what's up. And because if we didn't have this, if it wasn't just set the exact same time every week, it would never happen.
Oh, yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, we said when we were going to do this, I said, Sarah, you have to pick a date and a time, because otherwise, if we just leave it kind of flip-flopping, it's never going to happen for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now it's just part of the routine, and it's something we look forward to at the beginning of each week of, like, Mondays always suck, no matter who you are.
Yes.
But we get to show up and drink beverages and just talk about ridiculous crap for a couple of hours.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Like, start out the week on a good note, or at least end the first day out on a good note like that. So one thing that I was thinking about is, so I don't have kids, and really only one or two of my close friends has kids, but so I don't know a lot about this whole culture or environment, whatever it is, but it just kind of rubs me the wrong way when people use their kids as their source of content for blogs and Instagrams, like their actual physical kids, like in pictures or something like that. And it just, like, it never really occurred to me that maybe they would be on a podcast.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you have to walk a very careful line of.
Yeah, we try not to overshare. We mostly pick our topics that are relevant to moms, or even just relevant to us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we will share funny little anecdotes
mm-hmm.
from the weekend, or something really silly that my 5-year-old says because she's very dramatic.
But I think, like, I've only shared one picture of my daughter one time,
mm-hmm.
and even then it was like, okay, three people saw it. You know, I don't feel the need to do that again. And,
yeah,
and it's not their show. They're not the ones who signed up and wanted to do it. So
right.
even though we use them to talk about our experience, we don't want this we don't want to be like, oh, hey, honey, you got to go do something funny so I have something to talk about and, you know, turn into a show mom about it.
No, and also, and I haven't shared any images because my husband's not very comfortable with that. So that was his one thing. He's like, you can say their names. You could say my name, but I don't want images of us on that side. And I said, fair enough.
Right.
And that's a good point too. Not only our kids, but our spouses as well. Cause it would be so easy just to be like, all right, we're going to have husband bashing hour 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's an entirely different podcast that you don't necessarily want to publish.
That's not fair to them because they would have just as many, if not more, embarrassing and horrible stories about us. So if we do share something, we try to share it with, you know, a wink and a smile and oh, look how funny this was, or, oh, he totally called me my crap, and, you know, so we do try to be respectful of everyone else's privacy as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean, we did do one episode about how hard it is once you have kids to sort of divvy up the household chores, and, like, it usually still falls to the woman, the wife of the house. And before we got started, we were like, just FYI, disclaimer, we are not male bashing. Yes. We are not husband bashing. We're just talking about what probably is on the majority of most women's minds.
And we had scientific data to back up the different things that we were talking about.
That's all a listener can ask for is a personal experience story and then the facts to back it up.
Yes.
Do you Scientific data.
Oh, yeah. Do you know if your husbands have ever listened to your show before?
No.
Probably not.
Well, no, he listened to one because I was like, you have to listen to this one of our earlier shows, because I was like, we were really funny on this episode. And so we were listening to it, and he was like, I can't listen to it because you sound so tipsy and you're talking and your southern accent is just really pouring out right now. He's like, I can't listen to this with a straight face.
Well, you're not meant to. It's okay.
I was like, I don't think you really have to listen to a podcast with a straight face. I really don't think that's a requirement, but I understand.
I don't think you're doing it right.
Yeah. He was kind of uncomfortable, but I was fine. I was laughing. I was like, see, wasn't that funny?
Yes.
That being said, they're both super, super supportive, though, and are very glad that it's an awesome outlet for us to connect with each other and also to, you know, open that up for other moms.
Yeah.
Our CEO, Todd Cochran, has been doing his podcast for about 14 years now, and it's twice a week. It might have been, I think it started out as one, went to three, and then I think he settled on two. At least that's what I remember. However, the point of this is he had to set out a schedule. His wife was like, if you don't have this figured out, you can't do it. He's like, I have to do it within a certain period of time, and then I have to be available to my family. I'm going to get it out, and I'm going to have to balance the two. And he's been doing it, but he has to set those boundaries.
I'm just sitting here in shock that he's been doing a podcast for 14 years.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know what podcasts were until, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
That's okay. Me too.
Slash, how has he not run out of content ideas?
He does one on new technologies. So that is how you have consistent content.
Yeah. Now, that's a podcast I will listen to because I am the tech geek. Mm-hmm.
It's called Geek News Central. So you can find it. Really easy.
I will.
It's really amazing though. How did you like divvy up the work for the show on a weekly basis?
So we tried to, I think, divide it up according to our strengths. Mm-hmm. And also we tried to divide it up so that overall the time was fairly evenly split. So Pamela did a lot of work on the front end. She set up the website and all the links to the different
plugins and everything.
The streaming services. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I am in charge of the actual recording. I have all the recording software on my computer. We record at my house, so we have all of our mics and equipment set up here. And then I do all of the actual sound editing afterwards. And then once I'm done, I send it to her, usually at around 11 p.m. the night before.
It's supposed to go. Night, and we release on Friday. And I'm
like, it's done.
Like, I'll take care of it first thing in the morning. God,
you guys are like just like every other team out there.
Yeah, and she's so flexible with me. She's like, all right, I'll get it up there.
Yep.
Look at that guy!
It's okay, but I've become very natural with it now. I've done it enough, so.
And plus, I think we decided from the beginning that we were not going to get too stressed out from this. And that is one of the benefits of not making money off of this, is if you screw up occasionally. You feel kind of okay about it.
Very true. It takes off a bit of pressure.
Yeah, like, oh, it didn't go out exactly at 8 o'clock in the morning. It went out at noon. Like, that's fine.
Yep.
Or, oh, crap, our audio screwed up this week, and we are not going to be able to drop an episode. Okay, like, we'll pick back up next week. We've learned since then to have a few extras in the can, just in case something like that happens.
Yep. It just keeps you sane.
But back in the beginning, we were literally recording, editing, and uploading an episode like all in 1 week.
Yeah.
But then anytime anything would go wrong, it would just derail everything. We're like, okay, new plan.
New plan. Yeah.
You've learned.
Yes.
You've definitely learned. I know I can't remember how I found you, but I was excited to get both of you on, or at least I had hoped to get both of you on, because I was like, a lot of the time if I'm interviewing someone and they aren't involved in something, they just kind of are able to give me what they know about what the other person does, but they don't truly know like what the other person is going through in terms of their responsibilities.
Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, getting everything set up on the front end was no easy task. There were several late night texts where I was like, I'm going to throw this computer out the window.
And it literally took, I think, at least 2 weeks just to figure out how to get like the microphones and the recording equipment to work. Like, first we didn't have the right microphone cables, and then we didn't know if we had the settings on my computer right, and then we didn't know if we had the right mixer. It was a process. And when we finally got to work, it's like, all right, no one touch anything.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to touch
it. It's working.
It's set it and forget it.
Yeah.
And I'm actually in the process of trying to launch another podcast.
Oh, really?
About a week from not yet on Valentine's Day, and Pamela came a little early today, and I'm like, Pamela, I can't figure out the website. Can you please help me?
I didn't quite figure it out yet. I'm like, we're going to have to do this after.
Like, why is all this stuff so complicated, or am I just really computer illiterate? It's probably more the latter.
Well, if you are using any Blueberry services for this new one, just let our support team know, and they will help you.
Yay, I will probably do that.
Yeah. That's what they're there for, to make your life easier.
I'm trying to get my Blueberry and my WordPress to cooperate.
Yes.
I will say that they were really helpful when I was trying to get, for some reason, Spotify did not like our feed at first. And we went back and forth on different fixes, and I finally got it fixed, and I was like, it's fixed, we're on Spotify.
Yay,
and
she sent me feeling.
Sent me a gif of like, yay, like this little kid dancing.
I communicate with her a lot with GIFs.
Yeah, she does.
That's perfectly fine. I do that all the time with my friends and family. It seems so much more sufficient sometimes. Do you guys remember when you got on Spotify? Like around what time it was?
I think you would remember better than me.
It was later summer, I want to say. Yep. It took a while.
It took a while for quite a few people. Not necessarily like on your end. Nothing to do with what you guys were doing. It's just this past summer of 2018 was quite confusing with Spotify sometimes. We were super excited to be working with them. It's just there was a lot of changes going on all at once on their end and on our end with Spotify. So that's not surprising, but I'm glad it worked out for you guys and it's working much smoother for everyone involved.
Yes. Well, good. I'm glad it wasn't me. Yeah. It was just me.
I'm going to basically say for 95% of the people having issues, it was not them. It really wasn't.
That's comforting.
Yep. Where can people listen to you and find out more about your show?
If you want to go check out our website, you can go to motherhoodontap.com, mm-hmm. and it just has a running feed of our episodes, or
we can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and and MyCast.
Oh, yeah.
Google Play.
Yeah, I said Google Play. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
Correct.
Been rebranded. I'm sorry. I'm back in the old school days, but
it's okay. Most people are.
But most of the major podcast apps, you can find us on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. There is one last topic that I wanted to talk about with you guys before we wrap things up here, and it actually has to do with Apple. And the title of the article from the Podcast Business Journal is Apple Wants to Improve Your Experience. And this goes both ways for podcasters and podcast listeners. If you've ever submitted a podcast to Apple, you are at the very least familiar with Podcast Connect in that sense. But that is kind of the home of where people can know what's going on with their RSS feed in Apple. And that's also where you're able to look at your Apple-specific statistics. And now you are able to download that information as well.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful for me when she's asking how many downloads have we had. And she's like, what about specifically from each streaming service? I'm like, I have to go into every single one to get that information. So hold on.
And then it's like, okay, great.
I work with a lot of data for my job, and that just translates over at home. I'm like, can I get a full spreadsheet, please?
Yeah. The amount of information that podcasters love to geek out over is hilarious to me. I totally get it. But sometimes we just get the weirdest requests from people in terms of information they want to know. And I'm like, I'm sorry. That's just not how it works. Not how an RSS feed works. So I'm glad Apple is making this more accessible for people.
Yes,
definitely. And it's been a slow but steady process of building an audience for us. You hear about, you know, the cereals and stuff like that. You're like, oh, I know that's not normal, but it could still be me.
Yeah, it was nice.
Like, you go into it just, like, blissfully unaware like, how long, and unless you are willing to dump hours and lots and lots and lots of money into it, and even then it's still not a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a slower process, but within the last month or so, we've seen a lot more growth than we had been seeing, which is really exciting.
Yeah, and I did like in that article about being able to post, like, they can connect Siri to finding our podcast, and as I copied and pasted those commands into my OneNote to put on our website. Like, if you use Apple Podcasts,
that's exactly what you should be doing.
You might want to connect it through your Siri. Yes. And it made me kind of think, well, if that becomes popular, is Amazon going to do that with Alexa? Because I know you can do that with radio. Or even Google Home, are they going to do that? So that would be cool.
It depends on what app your podcast is in terms of a directory, but sometimes you can get people to find your show on Amazon Alexa, so give it a shot.
Oh, okay. All right.
Give it a shot.
I'll definitely put that on there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, test all these things out. Tell people. Put it on your website. I feel like that's something people forget about is putting information on how to, like, all the different ways to listen to a podcast on their website.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I'm like, I'm gonna, when we broke for the holiday, we had a small break for the holidays, and I was like, I've got time off, I'm gonna do this, Sarah, and I'm gonna do that, Sarah, and all of my in-laws came for Christmas, and then they all left and left me with a horrible cold, and I just sent her a text. I was like, it's not happening. I'm sorry.
I understand.
Best intentions.
Yeah, so I have a list of all the things I'm going to make our website sparkly one day.
It's already fabulous. You're doing a great job.
Yes. I'm trying.
I if it makes you feel any better, I had a list for over the kind of the Christmas, New Year's Eve, winter break. And at some point I just decided, no, I think I'm just going to go over to my friend's house instead. I just hit that point where I was like, you know what? Technically on vacation. Think I'm actually going to act like I'm using PTO.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. I'm going to watch these silly Christmas movies and enjoy myself.
Like, I'm going to go over to my friend's house and we're going to watch the weird Black Mirror Bandersnatch thing. That's what we're going to do. I'm not going to sit here and make a spreadsheet. So are both of you guys Apple users, or are you Android or both or whatever?
I am an Android person. Mm-hmm. I do have an iPad, but I'm more of an Android.
I have an Apple phone, mm-hmm. but everything else is pretty much non-Apple.
Gotcha.
It's I'm really finicky with that for some reason. Just I never clicked with the whole Apple computer setup.
Gotcha. I ask because it kind of is beneficial to have your feet in both camps there when you have a podcast, when you're able to like check up on everything and kind of know all the apps on both platforms and be like, hey, this is what you use when you're on this. This is what you use when you're on this. That just kind of gives people a one up sometimes.
That's cool.
I know that Sarah, she checks on our feed through the Apple Podcast directory, and then I check on it through Google Play, mm-hmm. and then I have a couple of friends that listen, I think through Stitcher and TuneIn, and they'll let me know if something's off.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. It's something I recommend to people all the time is subscribe to your own RSS feed. So if something is not sure, if you know you put an episode out and you don't see it, you know something is wrong.
Plus adds it to the episode so it gives us one additional download.
Yes. It's like, start out those downloads, man. Start them quick.
Build that audience!
Yep. Totally get it. It's the two of you, and you've been doing this for a little under a year. Do you guys have like a timeline in mind, or is it just kind of do it as long as it seems like you should?
Nothing specific at this point. I think I would like to do it for as long as life allows it.
Yeah.
Either when we can no longer make it work schedule-wise, or when it no longer brings the same amount of joy that it is now, I think mm-hmm. that'll be time for us to look for something different. But we're out of time right now.
No, I'm enjoying it. This is a great outlet.
Good. It's nice to be able to have a creative outlet like that on something that doesn't obviously scream be creative on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
And motherhood can be such an isolating experience, mm-hmm. potentially, that was another reason why we wanted this, is because I kind of started looking for something creative to do as I was finishing up maternity leave, and I was just feeling so out of touch with everybody, and I just wanted to, like, be a source for any other moms who were maybe feeling the same way of, yes. like, yeah, whatever crap you're going through, you know, we're in this with you, and we, you know, want to just share our support.
Such a great way to do it. Thank you guys for being on the show. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do next with Motherhood on Tap.
Thank you for inviting us to come on your show.
Yeah, this was fun. Thank you so much.
Of course. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Be sure to stick around for the Power Press tip from Sean Thorpe, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's Power Press tip. Power Press itself has no caching functionality built in, but there's a good chance that your website does use some type of caching, in which case caching can have an impact on the podcast feeds you create with Power Press. What caching does is it creates a kind of temporary copy of your website on your server that makes your website load faster. This is definitely a good thing, but caching can be complex, and you should be aware of it when you encounter issues with your podcast feed. There are way too many caching plugins and services to cover here, but some common ones you may have seen are W3 Total Cache, WP Supercache, and WP Rocket. Regardless of the caching system you're using, there's a couple things to check in your caching settings to make sure your cache is working well with PowerPress. The best thing to do is to tell your caching system to simply clear your entire site cache every time you publish a new post. If that's not an option for you, see if you can set your cache to exclude URLs that end in /feed. Having these settings in place should ensure that every time you publish a new podcast episode, your PowerPress podcast feed will update itself right away so that your latest episode will reach your audience as quickly as possible. If you ever notice your podcast isn't updating within a reasonable amount of time after releasing a new episode, clear any caches on your site first before pursuing other troubleshooting measures. It could simply be that your cache is holding on to an older version of your podcast feed and not letting the feed update properly. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean, at blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.